you know what? This must be something that the Lord wants us to hear as a congregation. If he would lay it on Larry's heart, independent of my heart, and then as we begin to feel the Lord share. So I just really believe that today will just be an add-on to last week, and that we'll receive this message that God wants us to hear today. You have a fill-in in your bulletin. If you take it out and follow along with us, I want to talk to you about the gift of giving. The gift of giving. Now, first thing I want to talk about is that we're talking about giving is a gift. Giving is a gift. Many times we think that the thing that's transferred is the gift. And what I'd like to share with you today, the very process or act of giving is the gift that God wants to give us. And that's right at the top of your notes. We need to realize that the gift of giving is not the gift transferred, but the act of giving itself. Boy, God wants to pour that gift out on each and every one of us, and I hope that you'll have a new appreciation for it this morning as we go through this message. So here's your fill-in as we go. Giving is a gift because, number one, it is the greatest blessing. It's the greatest blessing. Now, who said that? Jesus said it. We don't hear it recorded. We don't see it recorded in the Gospels, but we find it recorded in Acts when the disciples refer back to what Jesus said, which even to me seems to emphasize it even more, because the disciples remembering the teaching of Jesus after they said, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, it is a blessing to receive. How many like birthdays? Well, some of you didn't raise your hand because the number is getting too high, you know. But you know what? There is a compensation. They give you gifts on your birthday. And so birthdays are nice, you know, anniversaries, all kinds of different, and even unexpected occasions. How good is it many times when someone just gives you an unexpected gift? You know, they just were thoughtful. They went away. They bring you back a gift. And it just means, you know, they thought about me. I'm special. Or at least in the way that, you know, I really appreciate the gift. And especially if it's something that will benefit you, something that you wanted. And you go, wow, that's really, really, really neat. Actually, just comes to my mind. Yesterday, we had an anchor board meeting here. And one of our directors, he was there. And he had just turned a birthday, and he was all excited. He said, you know what my family did for me? He said, my family, my brother and sister, they all got together and gave me season's tickets to the Tiger Cats. And he was all excited, beaming from face to face. He said, I love the CFL. He said, I just love the Tiger Cats. He lives in Hamilton. And so I could just see again, the blessing of a gift is really nice. And Christmas. Wow. Can you remember back when you were a kid? I could not sleep on Christmas Eve. Why? Because we opened gifts on Christmas morning. And I just couldn't go to sleep. I was so excited. And year after year, the excitement of getting up, going down, opening the gifts. It was such a blessing to receive gifts. It reminds me of my oldest grandson. When he was about 4 years of age, it was the first time that he'd really could understand Christmas. And so he got up that morning in his own home, and he opened the gifts under the tree. Then he went to his grandparents' home, and they opened up more gifts. And then they came to our house, and there was more gifts. And my daughter told me as they were driving home, Brennan's in the back seat, and he all of a sudden he goes, "Well, I like Christmas." We do. Why? Because gifts. It is such a blessing to receive. But then Jesus says this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Why would that be the case? Because a gift that's given externally is outside of ourselves. It blesses us, encourages us for a certain period of time. But then it's diminished. The gift that was given, you're throwing it out a few years later. But the gift of giving, the gift that prompts you to give is a gift from God. And really, he's the only one that can truly give you that gift. So it's a gift from God. It's a gift of his own nature, because God is a giver. So God has given part of his nature, and the gift is not external, it's internal. He's given it to our hearts. And so when you receive from God part of his nature that's grafted into your own nature, that is a tremendous gift. And now this act of giving from that moment on, you are expressing the nature of God, and that's a tremendous blessing. You will never feel more satisfaction, more joy, when you are in line, aligned, and in sync with God's will and his purposes. And God is a giver. And so it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the thing is, that's something you have to remember. Even the disciples say, we got to remember this, because your natural inclination goes against it. You will default to wanting the gift and be the receiver rather than the giver. And if you do, you are robbing yourself of tremendous blessing, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, let's go on to the second fill-in. Giving is a gift because, two, it makes you more like God. It makes you more like God. Now, we've addressed this a little bit, but let's go a little deeper into it. Probably the most famous verse that's in the Bible is John 3:16, which begins this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," and so forth. But I want you just to notice the first part of it. God so loved the world that he gave. I want you to know that God's love prompted him to give. The outward expression of love is to give. God loved us, but when man rebelled and went his own way and deserved judgment and punishment, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave of his very self to a gift to us that we might receive, you know, as it says, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but receive everlasting life. And so God is a giver. And so when you join in the act of giving, you are acting in line with God, and you are becoming more like God, because he is the giver of every good gift, Ephesians tells us. The giver of every good gift is Jesus. Now, I have a statement under that point. It says this: to the degree you give is the same degree you are like God. So whatever degree you give, how much of a giver are you? To that same degree in your act of giving, that determines to the degree that you are like God. God is a giver. So if I'm going to be like him, I will be a giver. It's something that we need to just reflect on, meditate on. This is not an issue that is apart from God, on the edge of the things of God. But this is a central issue. Am I going to be like God? God is not just a talker. He doesn't just talk love. I'm so glad that God doesn't decide to love. He is love. Because if he decided to love, maybe he would decide not to love. But God is love. And so that's just part of his nature. He would cease to be God if he stopped loving. Now, I want you to see this. And because he is love, he gives, and he gave, and he sacrifices. And so to the same degree you align yourself with the giving to others, to that same degree you are like God. Now, here's your third fill-in. It connects you to the source. It connects you to the source. Matthew 10 and verse 8 says, "Freely you have received, freely give." We've received freely. Now we're to give freely. God wants us to be a conduit. He wants to give to us, and then we allow it to flow through to us to others. I remember being in Bible school, and one of my mentors really was powerful in shaping my life, I remember him saying in a class one day, the Lord will allow hundreds of thousands of dollars to go through your hands if he can trust you. But he said, the problem is many times the Lord gives to us, but then we hold it. We keep it. We say it's mine. And we don't pass it on. And because we haven't passed it on, we staunch up the flow. In the first service, I mentioned a hose. And Larry told me between services, I mentioned the hose last week. So let me mention the hose again to you. Think about a garden hose. The hose is just the conduit. You have to connect it to the water source. You've got to screw it into the source. And when it's screwed into the source, there's a supply that comes through it to the end. But if you take the nozzle and turn it off at the end, the hose is filled, but nothing comes out and nothing more comes in. God wants us to see our lives as a conduit, that I am not the source of my giving. Now, this is what holds us back. This is our default position. I only have so much, so I can only give so much. It's like the hose is disconnected. It's laying there. There's some water in the hose. And so you lift the hose up, and the water dribbles out a little bit. But then you see it getting less and less, and you think to yourself, I better stop this now, or the hose will have no more water left. But when it's connected to a source, you're not worried about water that's coming out because you know the water's coming in. Now, when you receive this gift from God, you're connected to a source beyond yourself. And we need to just really see this. I really believe that this is the fundamental change that happens to us when we become a Christian. And I wrote it in your notes. It changes you from a taker to a giver. When we come into this world, we are takers. We cry for our needs. We fight over our toys. And as we get older, we still fight over our toys. We fight over recognition. But now it's not who's getting the bigger piece of pie, it's who's getting the bigger piece at work or whatever. We're takers. By nature, without God, we're takers. We have a limited supply. It's like Adam, when they sinned, he was put out of the garden. He had to go out and make his way by the sweat of his brow. We have to earn our way. And we're in this world. And so the thought is, I have to take care of myself. And so I can't, if I give, I'm going to have less. If I give, I won't have enough for me. And the mindset is, you know, I have to take care of myself first. And it's always, well, I have to take care of my family. My family comes first, you know. And so I don't give to others because I'm taking care. As if there's only a limited amount. You know, it's not like freely you receive. No. Just stingingly you have received. And so I got to be very careful. I mean, it's just a very scarce supply here. So I got to be very careful in how I give this out on the other end. That's a mindset that has to shift. When you're connected, when God gives you the gift of nature, the gift of giving, and he gives you a part of his own nature, you see how unlimited God is. And you realize he is my source. My job is not my source. My bank account is not my source. My skills and energies to be able to earn money is not my source. But God is my source. And when you connect to that and you realize he freely gives it into me, then you can freely pass it on and give it to others. We have to shift from a taker to a giver. A taker mentality is, what's in this for me? How much will I have left after I do this? How will this benefit me? Every decision goes through that grid. Where a giver, it's how does it benefit the other person? How will this affect them? what will there be the result in their life? That's a giver's mentality. And we're to be known by our love. And I think that even flows into the next one. That the love that God has put in our heart is expressed in giving. And if we are to be known by our love, then that love has to be expressed in practical ways, or it's just words. We speak a good game, but we don't live it out. But the disciples of the Lord are to be known by their love. And love is an expression. Love's expression is giving, as we already saw. Okay, let's go on to the next one. 4. It turns on the tap of blessing over your life. It turns on the tap of blessing. We go back to the analogy of a hose connected to the source, but you can turn the tap on one turn, 3 turns, halfway, or you can turn the tap on full force. So, your giving, this gift of giving, turns the tap of blessing on into your life. Notice what it says in Luke 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you again. So whatever measure, whatever the vessel is that you give it, God uses the same measure, the same vessel, to give it back to you. And you've heard me say before, if you give it in thimblefuls, then you get it back in thimblefuls. You give it in quarts, it comes back in quarts. Give it in bushels, it comes back in bushels. Give it in truckloads, it comes back in truckloads. Whatever vessel or measure you use, it's going to come back to you the same way. It is our, we think the tap is on the source end. Really, the tap is on the other end. God, from his side, has the tap on full force. It's the nozzle on the other end that determines the flow. You can turn the nozzle down to its dribbling. Well, if it's dribbling, it's only coming in dribbles. Turn it on halfway, it's going out, but it'll come in. You put it, turn it on full force, it's going to come in full force. You have to see this teaching of the Lord, which was revolutionary in his day. It goes against our natural thinking. Give and it shall be given unto you. Now listen, it's not new. It's back in Malachi chapter 3. And this is a powerful verse in Malachi 3 verse 10. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The tithe is 10% of your increase. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And test me in this, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven, that I will pour out to you a blessing that you won't even be able to receive it. Now that's a powerful, powerful promise. And it's one of the few places in the Bible where the Lord says, test me in this. I mean, just try me out in this. See, we're going to get to it in a bit. Money is the god of this world. And God loves to be tested in the area of money because it shows his majesty and his dominion. So, we give our tithe, we bring it to the Lord, and it says, I'll open you the windows of heaven. What kind of heaven is over you? Are you under a closed heaven? Do you sort of feel like heaven is brass? Are you under an open heaven? You feel like my prayers get to the Lord and the answers come back quickly. That's an open heaven. And one of the most powerful prophecies that hit over me one time, I was at a place and the prophecy, the person, and it was sort of astounding, at least it came out that way, because the person said to me, I see an open heaven over you. There's an open heaven over your life. And I treasured that, and I hold on to that. And a lot of that comes because of the heritage I have from my grandparents, my parents, and on to me, and the teaching of tithing, of giving a tithe to the Lord. And because of that teaching and upbringing, to my knowledge, I've never earned a dollar in my life that I haven't tithed on. And that was just something that, and it's produced an open heaven over our lives. And I'm amazed many times at the blessings of God that flow into our life. But it's because as you tithe, He opens the windows of heaven over our life. And many times you say, well, I don't have enough to tithe. Well, maybe it's because you're not giving and the heavens are brass and you've only got a little bit. You're not trusting the source coming in. You're looking to only what you have. And, oh, I can't give because I have less. And we have to see, no, we got to shift that thinking and say, no, I want the gift of giving. I want God's nature. He's my source, not me. And we begin to allow this flow through us. And as a result, it opens the windows of heaven. And I go back to this verse that's listed here. Give and it shall be given to you. And then it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. When I first read that a number of years and years ago, it brought back to my mind being on the farm. And we had grain, and we would take it down to the miller, who was just beside our farm. Down the end of our lane to the right was the miller. His name was Troomsoul. Still remember, head the mill. And so my job many times is to get the tractor, put the bags of grain, and take the grain down to Mr. Souls, and he would grind it up. And he would put it into his mill, and the things, I still remember the belts going, the loud noise in there. And then it would take the chopped grain and put it into this big bin. And I would take down a certain number of bags, but you'd bring back way more bags than what you took down in grain because it was all chopped up. So I remember him taking the bags, the burlap bags, and putting at the bottom of the bin, because it all came down to a thing, and there was a chute, and he'd lift the chute, and the chop would come out into the bag. You'd hold it, and he'd just stand there, and it'd go flip, 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 flip. And it would come out, and I remember watching as a kid, thinking, it's going to overflow, because he'd bring it right up to the top. And then when it got to the top, he'd push off the chute, he'd take the bag, and he'd do this. He'd pick it up and shake it and bounce it on the floor, and the chop would just settle down. Then he'd take the chute and open it again, and go floop, 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 until it was overflowing. Then he'd take his hand, and he'd press it down. And then finally, it would get again until it would be overflowing. He'd turn off the chute, take the bag, wrap it, put the little finger, I learned how to do this when I was a kid. You put the string around, wrap it two times around the bag, up through where your finger is, and you pull it tight, and the string holds the burlap bag together. That's exactly what he's writing, because he's really talking about this kind of thing in the society. When he's talking about good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, I don't doubt he's talking about chop. He's talking about the grains that they have. That's what God wants to do. Have you ever been to a place where God fills you up and then he shakes it? And it just settles down. Then he fills you up again. Then he presses it down into your life. And then finally, just overflowing. That's how God wants to flow into our life. But it all hinges on the fact, give, and it shall be given unto you. Freely you've received, freely give. We have to catch that the gift of giving is the act of giving, not the gift transferred. We all rejoice when a gift is transferred to us and there's a blessing in it. But there is a greater blessing when you catch God's heart and from your heart you give to others. It's a powerful, powerful blessing that flows back into your life. Now, I've got to say this before we move on, and it's listed on your notes. We don't give to get, we give to give. This is so important. The motivation of giving is not to get a gift. The motivation of giving is just to be joined with God's heart and to do it out of love. As God loves us and doesn't expect anything back in return, we are to love and not expect anything back. And so if, say there's a group of people who hear this message, and so they say, well, I'm going to give now because I want to get more. Would God look down upon us and smile and say, there's my children, I'm so excited for them. They all have the spirit of get. No, that's not what he wants. He doesn't want us to have the spirit of get. We already got that spirit. That's the taking spirit. He wants to have the spirit of giving. And we're transformed. We're givers. We're not expecting anything back, but here's the goodness of the Lord. When you give to the Lord, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then he adds a whole bunch of stuff to us. But that's not why we're doing it. It's not our motivation. We're giving to give and to meet the needs of people. But an abundance does come back. Now here's number five. It opens doors for you. It opens doors for you. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him, brings him before great men. Your gift opens a door to you being accepted, to your participation, to your involvement, to being part of a team. Your gift makes room for you. Now, notice it didn't say your giftedness makes room for you. Some people I've seen sort of sit back and they say, well, don't anyone realize my giftedness? Don't they see my abilities? Why am I getting passed over? I should have gotten that position. I don't know why they didn't ask me. I would have liked that. No, it's not your giftedness that makes room for you. It's your gift. Is that what you participate in, that what you give, that what you contribute? It's your gift that makes room for you. And whether you're at work, in school, around other people, wherever it might be, whatever you can give to benefit them, whatever you give to the project, and you do it freely, and you do it with no desire for recognition, you're wanting to make them successful, that makes room for you. You will always be welcome. You will always be invited. You'll always be on the team because everybody wants that kind of person around them. That selfless person who serves and benefits others, that's what God wants. That's what God is to us. That's what we're to express to others. We should be known by that, known by our love, known by our giving. But sometimes we get so stingy and we guard our space. You know, maybe we're part of a church and we've been doing something and then someone comes in and you sort of feel like, well, they're horning in on my position. They're horning in on my job. That's what I was doing. Now, why are they giving it to them? We feel like I got to guard my turf. Like there's only so much room here. And now someone else is coming in, and I don't want them to get the credit. I should have got the credit for that because that's what I did. That was my idea. How come they're giving it to them, and they're getting all the praise? See, we want to guard our turf. We don't realize our gift makes room for us. You want an enlarged ministry? You want to have more effectiveness? Then give more. Serve more, help more, contribute more. Give of your time, give of your energy. Give the credit to others. It makes room for you. It's a powerful, powerful principle. The little statement I wrote in your notes is, be excited about making someone else successful. Get up every morning excited about making someone else successful. Not me successful. Be excited about making someone else successful. If you make someone else successful, then you become great because the servant is the greatest. Jesus, his revolutionary teaching, the servant is the greatest. The one that doesn't get the recognition, the person serving behind the scenes, the one that's just contributing and giving the most. It is not on scene in heaven. It's all written down, and in heaven, the servant is the greatest because a man's gift makes room for him. Again, Philippians 4:19. Says, and God will supply all your needs according to his riches in heaven. There's the supply. But if you read, I don't have time to go into it, but if you read Philippians, when Paul said to the church at Philippi, and God shall supply all your needs, you know the context of that? Because they had sent a monetary gift to him. And he said, you know, he said, I'm not just thanking you for the gift alone, but for the reward that comes to you. If I could put it in the phraseology of this message, on the gift of giving. You read it. He said, the reward that's going to come to your account because you gave the gift. I'm excited. He says, thank you for the gift. And then he turns around and says, and God's going to supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. Sometimes you can't apply that to your life. Oh, God's going to supply all my needs. Or he said he'd supply all my needs, but he hasn't. Why hasn't God supplied all my needs? Well, maybe you haven't given your gift. You've staunched up the flow. Nothing's going out. And you're wondering why nothing's going in, not coming in. You just have to let the nature of God and let that gift of giving come into our hearts. All right, here's the next one. Number 6, it is the truest test of discipleship. It is the truest test of discipleship. Now, we've already touched this a little bit earlier, but let me just say it. John 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this is what we're going to be known by. And the expression of love is giving. You've heard me say before, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So don't fool yourself. You say you love your partner, you love your neighbor, you love the person that you work with. How much are you giving and contributing to them? The world will say, and your natural mind will say, I've given enough. I've paid my dues. I mean, there is a line here. I've been giving, and I'm not getting anything back. And so this is it. I mean, do you ever have these conversations with yourself? Just realize the source of that is not from God. Because God is a giver that gives over and over and over again. The truest test of disciple. Are you going to follow the Lord? Are you going to be his disciple? Well, then how much are you giving? Here's what it says in Luke 16:11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you haven't been faithful in unrighteous mammon, then how are you going to get the true riches? Now, what's unrighteous mammon? Well, I suppose you could just put the word money there. But it's more than money. Because it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. The trusting in money that's the root of all evil. And so, mammon, it was a god that was, you trusted money. It was the god of money. So you trust money as your source. Now, here is the great divide. The great divide is whether you're going to trust God or you're going to trust money as your source. And folks, this really brings it to the nub. I mean, why don't we give more? Why don't I give more? There's a process of thinking, either consciously or unconsciously, that I think if I give, I'm going to have less. Less for me, less of my needs met, less of the things I enjoy, because I'm giving, I'm going to have less. That's a natural mindset because that is the God of this world. If you take God out of the picture, you only have so much money. So if I give to someone else, I have less for me. And so if you're trusting your money, it will limit what you give. If you trust God as your source, you freely obey whatever he puts in your heart. Because you know, freely I've received, I'll freely give. It really is a test of discipleship. Listen to what Jesus taught in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You really have to come to grips with this. And I think many Christians have never come to grips with it. They haven't even thought about it. They say, I love God, but every decision they make is based on mammon. How much do I have for what I can give? Rather than seeing God as a source, we're trusting mammon. Money is the god of this world. Everything this world gives you comes through money. We're in this world, so we have to use money. And so we have to use money without money gripping us. We have to hold money without money holding us. See, the question is not how much money do you have? It's how much does your money have you? And so it's a matter of trusting in God and realizing, who do I trust here? Who do I serve? Who is my source? So the greatest question you can ask yourself is this, and here it's in your notes. What determines the limitation of my giving? What determines the limitation of my giving? It's one that you need to really pray through, think through, and ask the Lord to help you. Can I be pointed? If you're not tithing, ask yourself this. Why don't I tithe? Quite obvious in Scripture. Tithing is the threshold. And so it's a matter of, why don't I? And that the answer to that question, only you can answer. And it will determine who you're serving, who you're trusting. So some people say, well, and it comes to our next points, and we'll go quickly to that. What change does the gift of giving produce? What change does the gift of giving produce? Number one, a changed mindset. If you have this gift from God, it's going to change your mindset. It's going to change the way you think. And Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, who is in the form of God, it goes on to say, and did not think that to be equal with God was any kind of robbery, but who laid aside that and came down and came to earth as a man. But not only as a man, but he came as a servant. And then he laid down his life for us. And he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We need to think differently. We have to be transformed to a giver, that there's no limitation. Where did Jesus limit his giving? He eventually laid down his life for us and died for us on the cross. And so the question comes to your mindset. And I don't want to overly focus on this because there's no hidden agenda in my heart. I mean, I'm not trying to manipulate you in any way, but I would not be faithful to God if I'm not pointed enough to the application that we have to come to grips with this. What's your mindset about tithing? Sometimes, well, I'm in school, so I can't afford to tithe. Well, I just got a new job, and I'm just getting everything set up, so I can't afford to tithe. Well, I just have young children, and they got all kinds of needs, and I can't afford to tithe. Or you're in middle age, well, I would tithe, but I gotta save for my children's education, so I can't tithe. And then you get to be a older and a senior, you say, well, I gotta save for my retirement. I can't afford to tithe. So just ask yourself, who are you trusting in all of this? Well, I have a limited amount of money, and so I have to be careful that I don't let it dribble out too fast on this end. Because there's no sense that there's a source on the other end that can compensate. Now listen, I'm talking to you, but I constantly have to come to this mindset issue in my own life. As you know, last year was 2014, double seven. We talked about being a year double portion. So I challenge you, believe that God was going to give you a double portion. And remember, I shared, you know, and also double your sacrifice. And so as I was thinking about this last year of my own giving, I decided, okay, I am going to increase my giving major. I always, as I mentioned, was always taught to tithe. I was always tithing, giving more than my tithe. But in 2014, I really increased my giving to the church. And so 2015 comes. A little bit of me said, wow, that year's over now. I can ease back on my giving. And I felt the Lord say to me, why are you thinking that way? And all these thoughts that I'm just sharing with you comes to me. Well, I'm given, well, why wouldn't you keep giving what you were giving? The only answer would be because I don't think I have enough. Well, did I not have enough for 2014? I look back in 2014, it was a tremendous year. And I realized, no, it's just the old stinking thinking that I don't have enough that hinders the gift of giving from operating in my heart. And so I had to really get down and ended up in 2015 giving more than I gave last year. Or 2015, where are we? Whatever. But I'm trying to just illustrate to you, this is for all of us. Let this mind be in me. Let my mind be renewed. I don't want to think the way the world thinks. I don't want to limit God by my own imposition, my own thinking. So there's a change in your mindset. Here's the second one. A changed time schedule. A changed time schedule. The verse is, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, we all have the same amount of time. You can spend your time for yourself in your own activities, what you want to do. Someone asks you, well, I'd like to help, but I don't have the time. Let someone else do it. They have more time than I do. But they don't have more time. We all have 24 hours. What we really need to say, I've already filled my 24 hours for me and what I want to do, and so I don't have time for this. And so I think that's why you need to prayerfully consider your time schedule with this whole aspect of where am I giving my time? Where am I sowing my time? It doesn't, and it's not that there's any rigid formula. It's just prayerfully before the Lord assessing how you're spending your time. And you may realize the Lord may say, you need to spend more time here. Free up some time for this area. And let the Lord number the hours of your day even, not just the days of the month. And here's the last one, and we already talked a little bit. A changed budget. A changed budget. How do you think about your budget? Because a budget tells your money where to go. If you don't have a budget, at the end of the month, you ask the question, where did the money go? So a budget tells your money where to go. You are instructing your money where its destination is. Everyone needs to have a budget, a prayerful budget before the Lord. That is, especially as the Lord blesses you more. Because if you have more, then you need to realize, Lord, how would you want me to use what you've given me? I don't want to be a hoarder. I don't want to just keep this. I want to continue to be able to give it away to others. I love this verse in Ephesians 4:28, and we'll close with this. Let him who stole steal no longer. Now, he's writing this church, and he's telling, you know, some of you were stealers, robbers, thieves, but now you're a Christian. So let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good. In other words, be diligent, get a job, work with your hands. Now, notice the motivation. That he may have something to give to him who has need. Why are you working? So you meet your own needs, have a little extra for the luxuries you want? Or is the mindset alien to this world? That I'm laboring, I'm working, I'm getting ahead, I'm getting some money, so I'll have something to give to someone else that has need. I tell you, only this gift comes from God. You're not going to find it from me. You won't find it in any church structure. This is a gift from God, the gift of giving. And God wants us to hold this gift and treasure it and let it transform our lives so we can be all that he wants us to be. Would you stand with me today? Amen. Has your heart been open to this today? It's a challenging message. It's a pointed message. But I really believe it's the light of heaven shining down on our hearts to reveal areas that maybe we haven't let the Lord look at in our lives. I have to believe this is God's word to us, stressing it last week with Larry, stressing it again today. He wants to bless us. He wants to open the windows of heaven. He wants us to receive from his nature. He wants to bless this world. He wants us to be open conduits of blessing to this world. He wants us to love this world, be known by our love. We have to ask the Lord to transform our hearts. Give us this gift. If you desire this gift, would you just raise your hand and hold it up? Just keep it up. And would you just pray after me this prayer? Just repeat it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I've heard your word this morning, and I desire this gift of giving. I need this impartation of your life. I want to be able to give freely without any hesitation. Give me your heart, Lord. Shine your heaven down in my heart and reveal any selfishness in me. And I repent of it, Lord. I want to be a vessel for you. Allow your gifts to flow through me. Use me to be a light in this world. Grant me this gift of giving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, it's been good today. It's challenging to us. Pray that you'll take this word, chew it over, and to digest it today. We're going to dismiss.